Good morning, and thank you for being with us again through the means of Facebook. We'll be in the Gospel of Matthew again, chapter 7, and we'll read two verses. I'll ask you to stand, those of you here in the auditorium. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. It says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you this morning as we gather in your house, and we pray that you would bless the preaching of your holy word. As we come now to some words of Christ that will challenge his hearers, and even us this morning, on the importance of where we stand before God, Lord. And we pray that your word would go out in power and in truth and in the Holy Ghost, Lord, not only here in the auditorium, but through the means of Facebook and even through Sermon Audio, Lord, that your word would go and that sinners would be convicted and to be examining themselves, whether they're on the broad road or the narrow road. Lord, may your spirit accompany your holy word. Meet with us this morning, Lord. Feed us again, as it were, from the finest of the wheat. And we look to you, Lord, this morning. May we feel your presence, O God. Oh, again, meet with us, dear God. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And so this morning we continue to speak on the Sermon of the Mount as Christ will now bring his blessed sermon to an end. And he begins that in verses 13 and 14. If I were to give a title to my sermon this morning, it would be, What Will Be Your Final Destination? What will be your final destination? In other words, where will you end up the day you die? And only you can answer the sobering question, because this is perhaps the most important question that you have to answer in your life. Why? Because your eternal well-being is at stake. And again, it depends what path you're walking on when you die. And we see that Christ will show us that there's only two paths. There's not 3, 4, 10, 20, many. There's only two paths that Christ described that all people are walking on. And so these verses here in 13 and 14, they set for the aspect of a needful and critical examination for everyone. In other words, to be looking into the depths of their soul with that sobering question, what will be my final destination? This is the implication and application of these sobering words uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Matthew 7, we've entitled chapter 7, The Identification for the Kingdom. We've already seen in verses 1 and 2, first of all, false pronouncements. In verses 3 to 5, false precepts. Verse 6, faithful prayers. Verses 7 to 11, fervent prayer. And then we saw last time also, verse 12, fair prudence. And this morning, in verses 13 and 14, we have the false path. Again, beginning in verses 13 and 14, we start to now see the beginning of the end of the Sermon of the Mount. As the Lord, again, he began the Sermon of the Mount by showing us the character of all those who are in the kingdom of God. In other words, he showed us and he spelled out to us who are kingdom citizens. And he instructed us on those beatitudes and then gave us those metaphors of being salt and light to this dark and dying world. Then the Lord challenges us with a righteousness to make sure that your righteousness surpasses that of the righteousness of the Pharisees there in Matthew 5:20. And then he concludes Matthew 5 with various examples to cause us to examine ourselves to see if we truly are kingdom citizens. And then in chapter 6, the Lord instructed us in the means of giving, of praying, fasting, along with the issues of material things, about being anxious, worrying. And he concludes by making sure that we are first seeking the kingdom of God. Then in chapter 7, he began by instructing us on having wrong judgment. Then he told us to make sure that we don't cast a pearl before dogs and hogs. And then the Lord brought us right back to the fervency of prayer and the importance of asking, seeking, and knocking before God in our prayers. And then in verse 12, he taught us what is known again as the golden rule. And so again, in verses 13 and 14, Christ is beginning to close the Sermon on the Mount with sobering warnings and teachings about the end result of destruction for all those who are walking on the false path. But then Christ also warns us about being careful with false prophets, the importance of having a solid preparation, making sure you're building upon sand. I mean, making sure that you're not building upon sand, which can be washed away, but that you have that firm foundation and you're building upon the solid rock that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as our Lord concludes the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks about two gates, two types of preachers, two types of fruit, two destinations, two foundations. I mean, what a powerful and sobering ending to this blessed sermon known as the Sermon of the Mount. Our Lord begins his lengthy conclusion to this glorious sermon as though he is telling his hearers and to us this morning, my friends, what are you going to do with these truths that I have preached? It is though our Lord refuses to allow his hearer to compliment him on this powerful sermon, you know, because he knows that praise and flattery without a response is hypocritical and dangerous. And he knows that conviction without conversion is deadly to a lost sinner. And thus he concludes with sobering truth that demands an answer into regard to what he was preaching. And so this brings us again, Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because or for straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And again, I ask, what will be your final destination when you die? And only you can answer that sobering question. Again, no sooner than the Lord ends at verse 12, when he says, for this is the law and the prophets. No sooner than he ends that he declares powerfully, and he says, enter ye in at the straight or narrow gate. Why? Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. As though, again, as Christ is telling us again, there's only two paths in life. One is the broad way that leads to destruction. The other path is the narrow way, but it leads to life ever after. Christ says a lot in chapters 5, chapter 6, and the beginning of chapter 7, and then warns us and commands his hearers and us this morning, enter ye at the straight or narrow gate. The reason for this, because everyone in this auditorium this morning, you are on either one of those two paths. Everyone listening on Facebook is in one of those paths. And everyone that listens later on sermon audio, the same way. For that matter, everyone in this world is on either one or two paths. There's not two, there's not three, there's not four, there's not 10, there's not 20, there's not 100, there's not 1,000. I mean, there's not, you know, millions of ways. No, there's only two ways that God said before us, that the Lord Jesus Christ has said before us so clearly. And so the question again is, what path are you on this morning? Don't worry about anybody else. Don't be concerned about somebody else. No, no. Look into your own heart. What path are you on this morning? You see, the path that you choose will determine your final destination. That is, where you will wind up in eternity. Again, it will be determined by the path or road that you take here on earth. Please understand, it is impossible to take the wrong road or the broad road and wind up in heaven. And it is just as impossible to take the right road, that is the narrow road, and wind up in hell. No. And so again, what road you travel while you're on earth will determine forever when you die where you will spend eternity. So again, we ask this morning, what road are you on? The broad road or the narrow road? Each of these roads will affect your final destination for all eternity. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ warns us and compels us to enter into that narrow gate. Therefore, where you wind up in eternity will determine what you have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask again this morning, come to Him for salvation. But sadly, if you continue to reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the end result is devastating. Again, we compel you to come to Christ. Please understand, my dear one, that life has also been described as nothing more than a brief pause between two eternities. Because you're surrounded by death the very day you were born into this world. And many of us have had loved ones passed away, friends, relatives. My. But I remind you, one day, death will come knocking upon your door. And the question is, where will you go? Where will you wind up? Where will you spend eternity? In the glories of heaven or in the awful abyss of a suffering hell? You see, the road you live on, the road you take determines where you're going to spend eternity. The broad road, Christ said, will lead you to destruction and the awful pit of hell. But the narrow road in Christ will lead you to the glories of heaven. Where and what will be your final destination is a question you must answer in your soul. Where will you wind up? Don't ignore this important question. But let us now look at the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he says at the beginning of verse 13, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. The word enter is the Greek word eisarkomai. It's a compound word from the prefix eis, which means into, and erkomai, which means to come or to enter. Thus, the application means to enter or to go in or to come in, with the application of entering into a specific place. I think all of us know, we all know what it means to enter. All of us this morning in the auditorium, we enter through those doors to come into this auditorium. And maybe later on today or tomorrow, you're going to enter into some place, somewhere. We all know what it means to enter. But what's so interesting about this word enter is that not only is it in the imperative, but it is in the aorist imperative in the Greek, which conveys a sense of urgency. It's not like Christ was saying, well, you know, if you think about it, when you get a chance, you might want to consider the... No, he says, enter now! Because the road is narrow, but wide is the gate to destruction. The word enter is filled with such an urgency by Christ, with demands and calls for immediate effect or action. As the Christ is saying, don't delay, enter now. Don't procrastinate. Enter immediately into that narrow gate. Because prolonged procrastination will lead you to the road of destruction. And you could end up in perdition. You know, I've had people tell me before, when you compel them to come to Christ, well, maybe next week I'll come, next Sunday, or I'll think about it. Maybe you have no guarantee you'll even be here tomorrow. The Word of God tells in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for today, now they accept the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In other words, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, today. So even now, come to Christ. This very moment. Christ says, enter in at the straight gate. The Greek word for straight is stenos, which means a narrow place. And it pictures the idea that there's obstacles in the way that make it very hard and very difficult for a person to enter. Because the word straight connotates restriction. From precept often It says, quote, "Strait" is from the Latin strictum, meaning narrow, and it is used literally of a narrow path between portions of land, like the Straits of Gibraltar, the Strait of Magellan, and figuratively conveys the sense of difficulty and distressful. Strait conveys the idea that the gate is very narrow or cramped or affords little room. There is no wiggle room when it comes to entering the kingdom of heaven, for there is but one door, the Lord Jesus Christ, unquote. Even Vine, in his Greek word study, he says, quote, "The gate which provides the entrance to eternal life is narrow because it runs counter to the natural inclination, and the way is similarly characterized," unquote. Now, please understand that this gate is, again, no doubt narrow, constraining, and even at times beset with difficulties. But the blessing then is that at the end of life, eternal life with God in heaven will follow this narrow gate, this narrow road. But we shall also see the other gate that is wide. It is broad, and it ends in destruction. It ends with a life of separation from God. Therefore, sinners must choose the narrow or straight gate. And no doubt, it is not a popular way. It's not an easy way, but it is the only way to eternal life, because it's in Christ. John MacArthur, he says, quote, "Entering the narrow gate is nonetheless difficult because of its cost in terms of human pride, because of the sinner's natural love for sin, and because of the world's and Satan's opposition to the truth," unquote. H.A. Ironside makes this point. He says, quote, "The door into the kingdom of God still stands open, but it is a narrow door. No one can pass through that door with their sins upon them. But as Christ himself said, he is the door in John 10:9. We might find in him deliverance from our sins and thus enter into the way of life. The narrow way is that of subjection to Christ, a way that involves denial of self and recognition to a responsibility to live for him whose grace alone can save us. I plead with you to give heed to the words of Christ when he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Do not let anything keep you from making sure of your eternal salvation. Be like the man in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, who, when he had heard of the impending destruction of the city in which he lived, and learned that life was only to be found through entering the wicked and small gate, refused to be turned aside by any of his own townspeople, and putting his fingers upon his ear, he ran from them crying, life, eternal life, life, eternal life, and so made his way toward the shining light, pointing him by the evangelist," unquote. And if you have never read Pilgrim's Progress, I admonish you, read that book. It will bless your soul. Yes, we must enter in at the straight and narrow gate, which leads to life. But the sad thing is that Christ says, but few be there that will find it. Look again at verse 14. "Because," or "for, straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So again we ask, what will be your final destination? We'll get back to verse 14 later on. If not, we'll get to it next week. But let us consider that second part of verse 13. Christ says at the beginning of verse 13, "Enter ye at the straight gate." And then he says, "For," or "because, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many," not a few, "many there be which go in there at." We've seen the first seven words already. "Enter ye at the straight gate." And these words were more than just an inquiry from Christ to get their attention. No, no, no. As we said earlier, it was a command. It was imperative that those who heard that they would that very moment enter into that straight gate. Now, after he said that, he inserts the word for. The word for is used as a contrast to what he just said. Enter ye at the straight gate, for or because wide is the gate, the broad gate. Again, as though Christ is saying, I am commanding you, I am admonishing you now, this very moment, enter the narrow gate because the other gate is wide, it is broad, but it is the way that leads to awful destruction. And sadly, very sadly, many, very many will go through that broad gate, that wide path. And thus, the sobering words of Christ set forth with a fearful warning to all those who are not in the narrow road. He says, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there which go in thereat. Again, our Lord told his hearers, and he's telling us this morning, there's only two possible roads you will walk. Of course, many in our day want to teach that there's many ways, many paths that a person can walk through in life. I mean, you can choose your denomination, choose your religion, I mean, all these things, but all of this is found on that one broad road. Christ again says there's only two. And then on the other side of the coin, when Christ says two, many will respond, oh, well, that's so narrow. That's probably the only correct thing you said this morning. Yes, it is narrow. You're correct. It is narrow because you only have two choices as to you will walk. Regardless of what the world says or thinks, Jesus Christ says again with such holy conviction in John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one road to heaven. There's only one way to get to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only road that leads to heaven, and it is called the narrow road. So before you this morning, there is a broad road, a broad way of the world, and there is a narrow road, a narrow way of Christ. Which path are you on this morning? Are you walking in the broad way, or are you walking in or on the narrow way? Again, there is a broad way. Because verse 13 says, enter ye the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The word broad, of course, means spacious. It's telling us there's so much room. The word broad in the Greek is platas, which means being so wide, having a distance from side to side. And the point of Christ is so simple. And he's telling us that the broad road, it is so wide open and it is so easy to enter. And so that means that anyone can enter this broad road without any restrictions. Why? Because anything goes on in that broad road. You can do whatever you want. You can think whatever you want. You can, again, do whatever you want, anything you like. You can say whatever you want. You can dress any way you want. You can walk any way you want. I mean, all of this, whatever you want. You can carry all your baggage of sin, and no one will say anything to you. No one will judge you. I mean, you can live any way you want. You call the shot. You are the one who makes the rules. And the best thing is, you don't have to answer to anyone for your actions. I mean, you can live your life, as they say, to the fullest. You can go anywhere you want. Do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Be whatever you want. In It is your life. There's no one to please but yourself. This and much more is what the broad road is all about. That is why it's so alluring. That's why so many people on this broad road, they can just do whatever they want. It is easy to be on that broad road. It is great, man, as they would say. The Spurgeon makes this point about the Broadway or the broad road. He says, quote, "The road is so wide that there are so many independent tracks in it that the drunkard may find his way along without ever ruffling the complacency of the hypocrite. There, even the mere moralist can pick a clean path all the way, while the immoralist, wretched, may wade up to his knee to admire throughout the whole road. Behold, how sinners disagree and yet agree in this. They are opposed to God because it is a broad road." John MacArthur also says, quote, "The way that is broad is the easiest, most attractive, inclusive, permissive, indulgent. It is the self-oriented way of the world. There's no rules, few restrictions, few requirements. Sin is tolerated. Truth is moderated. Humility is ignored. The way requires no moral character, no commitment, no sacrifice. It is the easy way of floating downstream." Almost like in Ephesians 2, where Paul said, "Ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now working in disobedient, in the children of disobedient. It is the tragic way which seems to be right to a man, but whose way is the way of death, or whose end is the way of death," unquote. One more quote by Ken Hughes. In his commentary, he says, quote, "Jesus pictures here a large entrance into a city that opens onto a broad boulevard. The road has a wide entrance and is spacious, meaning it is easy to locate, easy to get onto because of its size. There are no limitations as to your baggage. You can take anything along that you please. You do not have to leave anything behind to stay. All you have to do is follow your own inclinations. Absolutely no effort is required. The implicit idea of this broad road is that it imposes no boundaries of what anybody might think," unquote. And so Christ again warns us, for wide or broad is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I think we all understand the meaning of the word broad, because there are no restrictions on this broad road. Again, there's no boundaries. It doesn't even take any effort to remain on this broad road. The sad thing, as inviting as it is, it does give a false and deceptive sense of freedom and independence, because the end result of this broad road is destruction. And sadly, everyone on this road is blinded to this destruction that Christ speaks of. And sadly, this broad road will one day come to an end. And then what? More on this in a moment. But I also want you to notice something very interesting that Christ said in verse 13. I already mentioned it, but I want to repeat it. Not only is the gate wide, okay, and that the way of the road that is broad, not only does it lead to destruction, but Christ points out again that those that go in thereat are many. Many are walking in this broad road of destruction. Why? Again, because this road is so delightful, so pleasant, that so many people are on it. You see, on this broad road, there is a large crowd, a big crowd. It is such a popular path that so many are on this road. And as we said, there is a blind and deceptive side to this famous and most desirable large path, because it will end in awful destruction. Again, two paths, two roads, two gates are set forth before you this morning. And so the question is, which one are you on? And yes, I'll ask again, what will be your final destination? The broad path, again, the broad road, is the way of the world. The narrow path, the narrow road, is the way of Christ. So which road are you on this morning? Are you on Lost Boulevard, or are you on the Lord's Boulevard? Which boulevard, which road are you on? As there is no other road, there is no other boulevard. So, which one are you in? The broad way, the narrow way? You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he always makes powerful statements. Another one that he made, I'll read it to you, Matthew 12:30, when he said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." In other words, it's real simple. There's no in between with Christ. You're either with him or you're against him. You're either in the narrow path with him or you're in the broad path. You cannot straddle the fence, because you're either with the Lord's path or the world's path. Listen again to the words of Christ. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Sobering words by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I thought about that, I also thought of the words of the Apostle Paul. There in Colossians 2, you recall that he warns us. He warns us about being deceived by various teachings that are found on that broad road of the world that is so embedded in awful secular humanism. Turn with me to Colossians 2, and you know where I'm heading. You should know this verse. I think it falls great with what Christ said because of what Paul says at the end. Colossians 2 and verse 8. But I love the way it begins. He says, "Beware." I tell you what, when we go door knocking, I take those beware signs. Ben doesn't. Ben thinks that every dog will wag the tail. But one day we're going to have to take Ben to the hospital. One Saturday. I know it, brother. But when he says beware, I go to the next house. I'm sorry, that's me. Because I've been bitten by dogs before. Apparently you haven't, Brother Ben. And so when it says beware, I beware. So we know what the word beware means. Okay? Paul says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world," and here's the difference, "and not after Christ." Again, this is the same idea, the same concept of what Christ said. Because the broad road, guess what? It will spoil you. The broad road, it will deceive you. The broad world will overtake you with philosophy, by vain deceit, and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Or if you wish again, you know, the rudiments of the broad road will lead you away from Christ and not after Christ. It is as though the Apostle Paul again says, be very careful, beware, because these things will not take you to Christ. They're not after Christ. Paul is making a spiritual demarcation of either casting your lot with the wisdom of man or casting your lot with Christ alone. Please understand, just like the narrow road and the broad road, there is no connection between the two. Because again, the broad road is full of philosophy. It is full of vain deceit. And it takes you away from Christ. And Christ is the only way. Christ is the only truth. And Christ is that narrow way that can bring you to God. You know, we saw already in Matthew 6:24, when Christ himself said, no man can serve two masters. Either he would hate the one or love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot be straddling two roads, my dear ones, at the same time. You're either in the broad road or the narrow road. You cannot serve God and mammon. And perhaps this is the idea of Paul also in the same chapter there in Colossians 2 when he said, in verse 3, Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's speaking of Christ. That in Christ there is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in contrast to the wisdom of the world. That again is embedded in that secular humanistic mindset, saturated in philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of man, rudiments of the world. And so Paul makes this distinction regarding Christ again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This is the aspect of the message of Christ, again, that he ends by saying so powerfully, and not after Christ. And if it's not after Christ, then it means it is against Christ. Therefore, we say again, there can be no middle grounds between the two roads. You're in the broad road or you're in the narrow road. You know, it also reminds me of another prophet that said powerful words. A convicted challenge. Elijah. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings 18 when he spoke to the 450 prophets? And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? There it is. If God be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And if the preacher said, Brother Ben, and if Baal be God, follow him and go to hell. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answer him not a word. So again, we add, what or who are you as an individual this morning going after? Christ or philosophy? Christ or vain deceit? Christ or the traditions of men? Christ or the rudiments of the world? I mean, that is the broad path of the world. Or are you following after the narrow path of Christ? Yes, again, we ask, how long halt you between the broad road and the narrow road? Choose you one this morning, either the broad road of destruction or the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. How long halt you between the secular humanistic mindset of this world or Christ? Walking on the broad road causes you again to entertain philosophy, vain deceit, and all these things. So yes, what challenging questions by Paul, Elijah, but also, more importantly, the powerful words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as again, he is commanding us to enter into that straight or narrow gate in contrast to that broad or wide gate that leads to destruction. And we know that the world seeks many paths. They seek, again, as we said, the path of philosophy and all the things we said there from Colossians 2:8. I mean, the path of religion, the traditions of man, all those things, the path of sin. But sadly, they don't seek the way and the path of Christ. You know, it also reminds me somewhat of John 6. Remember when Christ challenged his own disciples as to whether they were going to follow him or leave as the others? I'll just read it to you. Remember there in John 6, verses 59 and 60, it says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore the disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? But Christ answered them in verses 61 and 62. When Christ knew it in himself, that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, did this offend you? What if ye should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? I mean, what a profound question that I believe it's still valid even to this 21st century. I mean, do the hard sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, do they offend you? I mean, does the doctrine of election offend you? Does the doctrine of predestination offend you? Does the doctrine that there's no free will, does that offend you? I mean, does the words of Christ that says, except you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, does that offend you? That's amazing. Does it offend you that there's only one way of salvation in Christ? I can assure you that if you're just pure religious, the teachings of Christ will offend you because they offended the religious Jews of his day and they crucified him because it went contrary to their mindset, as Paul said there in Colossians 2:8. I remind you that there in John 6, in the early part, remember what Christ had told them? You must eat my body and drink this blood. And no doubt they were confused and many were offended by that. But the Lord did explain to them that which he was speaking about, he qualifies it. They were talking about physical things, but it was a metaphoric term. It was spiritual things. He said, it is the spirit that quickened, and the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spiritual, they're alive. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And then it's the following verses, it's the ones I want to get to. And I just say this carefully, unless you really know the whole story of what preceded, you might lose the impact of what has happened as Christ challenged his own disciples as to whether they're going to follow him or leave like the other. Why? Because Christ knew their heart. Christ knew all them murmuring and complaining. And some were just following him for convenience sake, for the miracles, for the food. And so Christ says again to his own disciples, he said, therefore I said unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus to the 12, will you go away? Or I should say, will you also go away? But Peter answered and said, Lord, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. My. This again can be applied in this 21st century. Are we following the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we going to be allured away by the deceptive and alluring broad road? Are you going to walk in the broad road of destruction, or are you going to walk in the narrow path of life that leads to eternal life? What a question, again, by Christ to his disciples. Will you go away also? Will you go away also? My. It is powerful. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him are the words of eternal life. And so this morning we ask, will you go away also? Or will you now enter into that narrow road by coming to Christ? And so where are you walking this morning? The broad road or the narrow road? Sobering words by Christ. Notice that Christ uses the word way twice in verses 13 and 14. Narrow is the way, and then he also used it in verse 13. Broad is the way. So which way are you on this morning? In the broad way or the narrow way? The ways of the world or the ways of Christ? The narrow gate, the narrow path, the narrow way. This is what the Bible speaks about. It is that spiritual course of life that has those godly principles to teach us the way God would want us to walk. How many of us will proclaim and say that the Word of God is the rule of our faith and practice? And that the way is the true path of life. And so, again, there's only two roads. The broad road, the narrow road. And Christ is commanding us. Make sure we enter the straight or narrow gate in contrast to the broad gate that leads to destruction. And it's so sad how the world looks for so many different ways, different paths, whether it be philosophy and the words of man, wisdom, whatever it may be. The path of sin, many seek so many various paths and not the way of Christ. But I remind you that the broad way is the broad way, the road that leads to the pit of hell. And the narrow way is the only road that leads you to the path of Christ, to the path of eternal life. And so again, Christ says to us this morning, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there that enter it. That is so fearful when you think about it, because he says, because straight is the gate, narrow the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. O to God, I say, I hope that you are in the narrow way this morning, that you are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as I conclude this morning, and we'll continue here next week, I remind you that every one of us are in one of these two roads, either the broad road or the narrow road. There's no in between. I don't like, again, phrasing it like this, but nonetheless, it's the truth. Everyone that is on the broad road, the road to destruction, it is the road to hell. But then, we also have the narrow road. And the narrow road leads to eternal life, which is the road to heaven. So we ask again this morning, what road are you on? What will be your final destination? You know, I think of those that live in the time of Noah. Noah preached 120 years, warning the people to turn from their sin, that judgment was coming. But they didn't believe that the flood was coming. It hadn't rained on the earth yet. So nobody believed him. They thought he was a crazy old man building some ark for rain. Never rained before, Noah. You're crazy, old man. But he was faithful and he preached it until the day when judgment came and the whole world was judged by God and there was only 8 survivors. And the reason they didn't believe Noah is the same reason why many people don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do it. In other words, because God's mercy does not bring swift judgment every time they sin, they think that one day they're going to escape the final judgment of God. But oh, my, don't be deceived. The Bible clearly says that the wages of sin is death. One day we will have to give an answer to God. So again, as I conclude, I ask, what will be your final destination? There's only 2 paths, 2 roads, 2 gates. Which one are you in this morning? If you're outside Christ, I admonish you even now, bow to the Lord Jesus Christ this very moment. Come in repentance of sin. Come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed to the words of Isaiah when he said, seek ye the Lord when he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Therefore, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, come in repentance toward God and in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, what fearful, convicting words this morning. But that is what you preach, and that is what we preach this morning also. There's only 2 roads, 2 ways, 2 paths. There is that alluring, supposedly delightful, broad path that many are on. But oh, they're so blinding, oh God, that the end result is awful destruction. But we thank you, Lord, that you also provided a narrow way. And it is in that narrow way that it's the way of Christ that leads to eternal life, that leads to salvation. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning. For Christ himself even warned us that if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. It is not a light thing, Lord. Because everyone in this auditorium, for that sake, in the whole world, is either one or the other path, because there's only two paths. And we pray for all those that are on the broad path this morning, in that broad road, that they would come in repentance and choose to walk in that narrow way of life and come to Christ for salvation. And so, God, we entrust all this into your hands. For we ask it all in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Thank you again for being with us through the midst of Facebook. And if the Lord has pricked your heart, convicted you, please contact us. You have the information there. God bless and Godspeed. Amen.